Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Steamrolling, 7:32 in the nation's capital, DOC, in metal. Kicking it with you here on a glorious day in terms of our football prospects. A very sad day for our radio family in that we lost a warrior, Pete Medhurst, and his battle with brain cancer. And so he will go into a position of watching over us now, and you couldn't have a better watchman. This brother, man, I just love the dude because he is so authentic. His work ethic, he left a mark, and his mark is on his work and the work in which he went about his business. And we're all better off as a result of his presence. Is Josh still in the District of Columbia?
Oh, we're here, Doc. The DOC.
All right, brother. Appreciate you being patient. What's going on?
Hey, nothing much. I just say rest in paradise, old Pete. I didn't even know nothing was going on. But prayers go out to him and his family.
Yes, indeed.
So, you know, right now we're putting the league on notice because a lot of people hasn't even spoken about this. You understand that Dan Quinn and then they put this team, Adam Peters, they put this team together in 1 year, right? Okay, we're the third team that's going to have the most money in cap. This will be the most depleted team that Jaden Daniels will play with. Think about it. We get another 1A, 1B receiver, T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, anybody of that stature, alongside Terry McLaurin, we get a, you know, Austin Eckler ain't going to be there forever. Brian Robinson going to be there forever. You get a nice little running back. You get some more weapons. People are going to – nobody's going to want to leave playing for the Commanders. Everybody's going to – that's got a one-year deal like Jeremy Chinn. They're not going to want to leave. People are going to be wanting to – they're going to be wanting to come over here. As soon as they break from their teams, they're going to want to come over here. So we're putting the league on notice.
That would be great if the Bengals weren't going to get a new left tackle. You know, it would be great, but everybody improves. Your record, you'll be playing better people. That's one of those things that if you're in a conversation at a party and you want to sound good, you'll probably get somebody to buy you a couple of drinks. But in the end, to me personally, prove it over last year.
Yeah.
Prove last year's. I'll tell you who it was. Houston. And they're good. They're going to be good, but it is not life changing because everybody else improves, and they were better than you before they started. And unless they got some idiots in their front office, if they have a head start, you usually don't catch them. Usually. I mean, there's always a nut like the Giants front office that was complete imbeciles.
Well, they had a
but I just
down.
Don't
I'll
believe
that.
I believe that we're going to get better when our lines improve to the point we can dominate people. You got to physically beat people. Everybody's got smart people. The Eagles are where they are because they just physically beat you up in the box. And if we can't challenge that, we won't beat them.
That's exactly
this
right.
This is a manhood issue in the end, how it comes down to. Even the Chiefs. Man, you can't block they do. They got a guy you can't block. They got two of them now that you can't block. So all this stuff sounds good about the wide receivers and all. In the end, this is a game that's won off brute strength, physicality, and a back that can't
be
stopped.
We're playing right in between the numbers. You know what I mean? A lot of people won't talk about that. We're playing right in the numbers. Being a Commanders fan right now, look, I'm 37. This is like being broke my whole life and finally scratching a scratch off for $1 million. You know what I mean?
You got a shot because the system's not ready for you.
We're about to kick the door in. I called earlier in the season.
No, it's possible.
And
I'm with you.
I said, what's
now
my
I'm
identity?
With you. Now yeah, I'm with you. That next year stuff, I don't believe that. I ain't in the next year. I'm in the right now.
Hey,
I think right now. You got a shot. Let this offseason, if you think for 1 second you're going to sneak up on somebody after they see JD5's tape, you crazy as a road lizard. Everybody's going to stack up to try to get this dude. The word is already out. That's why right now is the best time to go on and take what you want. Because everybody already know he that dude. You ain't sneaking up on nobody now. He's that guy. Excellent call, man. Appreciate you. Metal, I'm telling you, we can't hide up on nobody. Everybody's whole offseason is going to be designed on stopping JD5 and the Commanders. And if this staff stays together, if this front office stays together, look out. And if I'm anybody, if I'm the Jets, ain't no way in the world I'm not robbing this group. Pat, Mechanicsville, what up?
What's up, Doc? First, I want to say God bless Mr. Medhurst's family, man.
And, yes, sir.
I lost my mother in 2020 to that terrible disease, brain cancer. And, you know, it's a tough thing, man. But, you know, I know he's down. He's going to be – Sunday he's going to be looking down and smiling on us, man. And,
Oh, yeah.
We're going to get it done. I got that feeling, Doc. We're going to get it done. You know, I'm 57 years old, man, and I've been there through the good times and the bad times. And Saturday after we won, man, I had tears coming down my eyes, you know. But it was tears of joy, and I'm ready to shed some more this coming Sunday, man. And like I say, Doc, you know, you're simply one of the best, brother. And God bless you, man. And let's get this thing done. And I'm like you. Don't wait till next year. Nothing is promised to nobody.
Let's get this
thing done and take it to the house, brother. Have a good one.
Thank you. I really appreciate you. Metal, I'm telling you, no better time than right now. No better time. They're going to be people to dedicate their off seasons to trying to figure out Kingsbury and JD5. So go for it now. We're close now. We got a chance. You say line two drop?
No, we got line two on still.
Okay, let's roll. Steve.
No, this is Jimmy in Silver Spring.
Okay, Jimmy in Silver Spring.
Hey, Doc, what's up? I had to come back into the locker room, man. Before I start, I just want to say, man, I love Pete Medhurst. I used to listen to his show every morning with Russell. I love the guy. I called you up about a month ago. I don't know. You probably don't remember. But I called you up and told you that the Cowboys, when the Redskins were 10.5-point favorites a month ago, all my friends called me, and I told you all my Redskin friends didn't call me till New Year's. That's how sad those guys are. And you said, make sure I call you back, so I'm calling you back. Mm-hmm. I was crying tears of misery watching that game the other night. But now that my man Pete is gone, I kind of root, and I wouldn't mind seeing y'all win for him, man. That's how much I like the dude. But
yeah.
As far as everybody planning for JD and Cliff Kingsbury, man, y'all had a great year, man. First time in 30 years. Enjoy it. And Pete, please enjoy it. If they win one for Pete, I won't be as upset, man. But don't carry on because y'all had a great year, Doc. Love the show, man.
Thank you. And I appreciate you giving it up for Medhurst. It would be nice. And it's been 30 since y'all been in it. And it may end up being 40 at the rate you're going. Unless y'all do hook up and get prime. But that's the topic for another discussion. And I already broke a rule. Never talk about non-playoff teams during the playoffs. Excuse me, Metalite. What do you think about that rule? No non-playoff teams discussed during the playoffs.
Nah, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, why bother with them, right? Why bother with them?
No, we don't do that.
No.
If you're not in the playoffs now, we talk about you at the end of the season when it's all said and done. we don't mention you now.
Yeah, the only thing I'm hearing about those teams right now is who's firing their coach and whose coaches they're hiring. And other than that, whatever.
But I don't even care.
I'm not that worried. Although,
I mean, does it really matter?
It was kind of interesting to hear that Johnson went to the Bears because everyone was talking about Cliff maybe going to the Bears. So that does have some relevance to our team, but
they have play design. He's a play and he's a brilliant play designer.
Sure,
but I'm just not as knocked over my feet when I watch their team lose. I want to get the guy who won.
Yeah,
I don't understand that. I could understand it if they were waiting on Kingsbury, or they waiting on one of our guys from this day. I want a guy from the winning team. I'll never understand that. What am I going to get from the team that didn't win? Especially when he had a running back, to me, looked as good as Saquon or O.J. Simpson and didn't give him the ball. You're not questioning that, dude?
That second half, yeah, I don't understand why they did not run it more, but I'm not going to complain either. So.
No, but I'm just saying, I'm going to ask the question. I mean, he tricky, he twitchy, and I love that. But see, I'm not into artists. What he showed me was that all he had to do was be bullish.
I don't think his team knew how to come back. I don't think his offense knew how to play from behind like that, you know? And I think that showed, you know?
He's innovative. He's innovative. Can he hire? We don't know if he can bring a staff together because most of his boys are going to be hired by other people.
Yeah.
Then we got, you know, once this thing is all over for us and today's not today, I would be raiding our front office if I was another team. Even though JD5, Eversley, definitely he's the magic wand, but I want intel. I want to know what happened in Washington. They came into a place that had like nuclear fallout.
Yeah.
Everybody failed here.
Yeah.
And these dudes coming in, you think I'm not going to try to rob their intel? You think I'm not going to go after their people? You got to be crazy as a road lizard. I want people from Washington. I want people. Tell you, one of the hottest guys in the... I'm telling you what, I want to know what the heck was going on over here. Now, we know the players responded. But there's a secret sauce, there's a message going, because no one has come close to this before. Not like this. I'd be safe to say there's some instances on paper they had equal talent, if not sometimes more, but never got the results. Why? Why? And right now it doesn't even really matter. What matters is that what's going to happen Sunday. And that we're going into this against clearly the number one, possibly number one ranked team, if you want to, with a fighting chance. It's not like we have no chance. You have a chance. You split with them. Oh, the quarterback didn't play. He may not play in this game. So what? You want to forfeit?
Yeah, imagine what they'd be saying if Jaden Daniels went down. Do you think they'd be like, oh, yeah, Jaden Daniels
went
down. I guess you guys get to go to the Super Bowl.
We see Marcus Cook. We see Marcus Cook.
Yeah, yeah.
Matter of fact, you want to do this? Let's do this. We'll play both our backups. You want to roll? I dare you to do it. Let's do it. See, our guy used to be over there with them. They don't want that. I'm telling you, we have got every right to claim this. Now, they got to physically do it, but we'll see. I'm telling you, man. I can talk myself into this one. Yeah, because our boys are physical. To the break we go. Right here on Overtime, 106.7 The Fan. Rocking and rolling. Back in a moment.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
We are back with you, 7:49, in the nation's capital. And boy, what a day. Started off with a gut punch. You find out a colleague has lost his fight with brain cancer, Pete Medhurst. And it's just mind-boggling to think someone with that much energy and drive and just zest for life. If you believe in anybody could beat anything, it's Pete. And I just got to believe it's the cause is greater. And he will inspire. This will lead to something that will be positive for hundreds and thousands of people. I believe that. That's the kind of force that this brother put forth, man. Just outstanding. And hearing the play-by-play, man, Heavy Metal cut out some, he and Victor, you put together some sound today, man, that just broke me down. Hearing his calls, because this dude was born to be a baseball play-by-play guy. Or football, whatever he did. It sounded like a guy who had been doing it damn near forever. And he took every, he could have taken, if he had met her doing pickleball, it would have sounded like it was an Olympic competition. And that's, and I just want to be joyful about him. It breaks me down. I just want to be nothing but joyful because of what this brother brought to the table. Oh, man. Josh in the District of Columbia.
Doc, how you doing, brother?
You know, I'm good, man, because I get to celebrate a life. A brother, a life is worthy of all the good things that he's earned and can be said about him as a father, as a husband, and as a colleague.
Yeah, I'm so sorry to hear about that. I know he's been battling cancer for a while, and my prayers go to his family. And, you know, I wanted to talk about the game, but you know what, Doc, I'll talk about the fact how special people like Matt, yourself, JP, B. Mitch are for us as a fan base. You really are all, you're our unsung heroes, because over the years, over these decades when we've been doing horrible, you know, you're our support group. You're literally our therapists. And now that we're, I mean, one game away from the Super Bowl, you are giving us a sounding board. You're giving us literally a medium to communicate and bring all of us together. So just want to tell you how much I appreciate you. I'm so happy that we're here as far as a fan base and as a community. Just want to let you know, man, you know, we love you, Doc. We love everything that you do and all of you all do. For us on the radio to keep us together and to, you know, to give us a shoulder to cry when times are not going so well.
Well, I appreciate that. And I, you know what? I just appreciate the whole organization for lifting us out of this manure. It feels good to be out of that sewage. And I'm so appreciative of it because it's a great game. We have a great fan base, a great football community, and it needs to be heard nationwide. It needs it to reclaim its place among the elite fan groups in the country and in the world when it comes to that. And it needs that because I've been there before. And with all these youngins we have now, we can do it again because our force will be greater than ever. As long as all of us with a little salt and pepper in our, as long as we don't let you down and we can stay strong on our feet, these young people, the youngest in charge, the movement is ferocious. So we just got to hold up our end. So if we do that, then it's going to be a tsunami. I can't wait. Thanks, man. I appreciate you. We're going to Silver Spring.
Love you, Doc.
Metal. Thank you, Pat. Metal, are we going to Jimmy? Oh, Lou? Okay, Lou. Welcome home.
DOC, appreciate K-9. You taking my call, man, like the previous caller. Can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear.
Hello?
Loud
yes,
and clear.
Sir, yeah, man, like the previous caller said, man, you mean you and, you know, B Mitch and everybody else mean so much to us, man. Every time, you know, through the hard, through the good times, you know, the up and downs the past 20 plus years, man, we've been calling the radio and talking to you guys as a therapy, man. It's a session that we all needed, and I can't thank you enough. And you know, today's it's a tough one. We lost a real one, and you know, my prayers goes to his family, his daughter, and his wife, and hopefully Sunday will bring another joy for us and to get that victory against, you know, one of the team and the team that we always been fighting for the past whatever year. So hopefully we could accomplish that for you guys and for Pete and for Sean Taylor and everybody that wore that burgundy and gold, man. It just means so much. And like you said, the ownership and Magic and Josh, I mean, I'm blown away, man. What they've done in just year one is just amazing. And I'm telling you, man, I was in tears on Sunday, and today the news that I heard.
Well, I hope it's tears of joy.
One thing that just hit me is just the game is a game, but when I heard about Pete, it hit me like it's like one of my family member, man, because the dude is humble. He respect whoever called. He respect that person and let them talk and take their call. And it's just you don't see that, you know, on the radio like that. Like what he be doing to you know, for what, like, man, Doc, man, it's just like I'm speechless, man. I'm just out of word when I heard the news, and it's tough. And hopefully we get it done for him and for those that wore the burgundy and gold. For you know, yeah, man. I just wanted to get that out the way, man. I appreciate you,
brother.
Guys, and it means so much talking to you guys all the time, man. Appreciate you, Doc. Thank you for taking my call, man. I'm
all
rumbling
right,
and stumbling right
stay
now.
Stay strong. Save some of that juice for game day, because we gonna need you Sunday. No excuses on Sunday, because you know that you know what he would have wanted. He would have wanted you to be as strong as possible for game day. One thing about Pete. He ain't missing no games now. If he can walk, he's going to get there. How many stories, Metal, did you hear today about Medhurst driving to other states, not cities, states, for games?
Yeah, man, that guy literally had a drive, man, that I don't
Road
think most
warrior.
People in this industry even have.
Yeah. I mean, if there's a documentary on the way or in the making, I sure hope that they get all the details right. Because it's a story that I want to see. It's a story that needs to be told. Because when you hear it, you don't believe it. But yet, I know too many people and that are witness to it. The drive from the 757 down here on a regular basis are charted. He made it seem like just, you know, going to Bethesda from Tyson's. Yeah, just Richmond. I mean, dude, so many things that sound superhuman, he made it routine. But that's what the great ones do. They make the difficult look routine. We're going to make this break look real quick and real routine. Stay with us right here on Overtime. In case you haven't heard, there's a rumble on the east side Sunday around 3 o'clock. It ain't for the faint of heart. It's going to be an old-fashioned shootout. And JD5 and company coming up with some young thugs coming out to shock the world and take over. And I love that. We've kind of created quite a crowd here tonight on Overtime because this fan base and a lot of its descendants, this just younger group has emerged with a lot to say, and I love this. Mark out in Midlothian, welcome to Overtime.
Hey, Doc, how you doing? Thanks for having me. You know, so just a little perspective from kind of where I'm sitting, and then I have a question at the end. So, mm-hmm. You know, I was born in 81. I grew up in Great Falls. Mm-hmm. I live down in the Richmond suburbs now. Growing up, we were winners. I mean, we were just winners. And I think it was about my 10th birthday when the 91 season came along with Rippon and, you know, and that whole thing. And it was just great. Ever since then, it's just, you know, it's gone downhill. You know, I remember at my 30th birthday party, I'd bought the three DVDs of the Super Bowl championships and played them on all the TVs in the house. So if you were in a different room, there was a different Super Bowl playing. I got laughed at so much because they weren't in HD. the footage was so old, and it was just kind of a shock. This is how long ago it's been. And, you know, now, you know, I've got four kids, and you see them, they're excited. They're excited about the team. They want jerseys. They want to wear gear. And for the longest time, I only kept our Redskins stuff. And I even called into one of the post games, and I remember you corrected me a few times. You said, they're not the Redskins, they're the Commanders. And I feel like at this point, we've crossed that threshold where I call them the Commanders from now on. This team has earned it.
Thing, and not to disrespect the skins that we wore proudly and honored, but at a certain point, we have to move on in order to regain our strength and be at full power. If not, we're splintered.
Right.
But it's everybody's decision. Me personally, make it on your own. It doesn't affect me one iota because I was true and loyal to our brand. And when that changes, now support these guys. I just want them to be supported like I was supported.
Right.
Our support was unbelievable.
So,
and I can't not support them with the same effect that I received. I can't do it. I got to be all in.
So there was one thing. So listening to Grant and Danny early, there was one segment they had that really scratched an itch for me, which was they went back around what was the kind of like the low point, you know, in this time. And I really thought about it. I've had so many, but I've also had so many good ones too. Santana Moss catching two touchdowns against Dallas. But mm-hmm. I went back to the probably the lowest point. It was December 2003. It was Dallas week. It was a home game, and it was in December. And as we got up, our seats, I had just graduated college, our seats were at the top of the stadium, 92, when they had 90,000 seats. And we get up to the top, and they say, we got Saddam Hussein. That stadium was rattling. We went on for one of the worst performances that day. I think it was a blowout, like 30-0 or something. It was just an awful day. So that was a long. I looked at it now. It's 20-something years ago. Look where this team is now. We're going to draw more people from outside. We're going to start bringing in more people back from Maryland that we lost to the Ravens. We're going to reestablish ourselves as the brand that we should be. Hey, Doc, I do have one question for you. I've been reading a lot about the VR headset training that JD5 has been putting into, and mm-hmm. he's watching it at 1.7 speed or whatnot. And so the game feels slower to him, you know, if you're practicing on that kind of stuff. Here's what I want to ask you. If you're the Eagles, can you just come up in a week with whole different schemes and whole different looks and everything else to confuse somebody that maybe is trained on one of those VR headsets? You know, if you're just looking at everything that has been seen before, if somebody comes up with something that's totally new, is that something that could potentially rattle them?
Well, if I'm Washington, I hope the Eagles change. If I'm the Eagles, I don't change anything because they can beat you physically. Be leery of the person that needs to change. That's the person that doesn't feel like they can dominate you physically. Mm. That's what makes the East the East. Change. I don't really want to have to run but three or four plays. All that innovation, that's for the West. That's for Miami. That's when you got to be creative because you're not physical. This is the East, man. We want to run in there and knock you out of the box. If you can't take it, you lose. And that's why it's between the tackles lifestyle. So the VR, that's great for drops and passes. He sees it. But he's going to break you down and make you make a bad decision. But in the end, if B-Rob runs like he ran last week, Eckler, you know he's going to have all backs. B-Rob's the key. He's got to have that on demand. I'm telling you right now, this game comes down to three people. And I'm not going to mention them because I don't want the Eagles. They may know, they may not know it. But there are three guys. And if them guys put on their big boy trousers, then hell to the W. Because we're going to be all right. Because it's that close. It's not like we're coming from some rec league. The Commanders right now, they're just as worried about us as we should be worried about them. And that's why we've earned the right to be in this game. Make no mistake about it. But if you got to trick them to beat them, that's not good. What we got to do is be the control the line of scrimmage, not turn the damn ball over, and look them right in the eye and punch them in the face. Because they not as together as we are. They still got guys over there worried about stats.
Yeah.
I'm not getting the ball. Hell, you winning. Why are you upset? Let them keep bitching about stats. Do you hear Scary Terry ever talking about stats? Never. We got a club that's focused on winning. They got a club over there worried about stats. Saquon's not. Love that brother. Love him. But I'm not sure about the rest of them. They got some selfish people over there. Most teams do. But not DQ's boys. They are a force of one. We'll see. I'm betting on our guys.
I would love to see nothing more than for us to rattle them the way the Redskins in 92 at the Super Bowl rattled Andre Reed and got him to throw his helmet down and get that big penalty. We got in their head. I hope that we play them so physical and execute so properly and efficiently that we just get in their heads and they just self-destruct.
Well, the thing is that we're not scared. And if we don't help them beat us, we're hard out. We don't turn it over.
No turnovers.
Yeah, if we just play smart football, because we have something no one else has. They don't have JD5.
Mm-hmm.
See, we have an asset no one else has. They have an asset no one else has. It's Barkley.
You know, everybody I know JD5 is an asset no other team has, and that's true. I don't see any other team that believes that they're not going to lose. I think the Commanders believe we're walking in there, we're going to win. I don't see that with the other teams.
You have to believe that. If you don't believe that, then they can never win. Got to believe that. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you prove, and again, 53 strong. Cosme's out. That may kill some other people. Eagles got people out too. I'm betting on Trent Scott. If you don't believe me, pull out the game. Watch last game against the Lions. Now, the Lions had some injuries too. This is a game you just man up on game day. I like our guys. I like our guys. De'Ami Brown, I'll take him. I'll take our guys. Everybody talking about wide receiver T. Higgins. We don't need no T. Higgins. Unless he's 6'8", 355 pounds. Anybody I need got to be big and ferocious. We got wide receiver. We got people. And we got JD5. We're good. What we need to do is get somebody on that defensive side that runs 4-3 and run people down. Because this running back thing is coming back. I'm telling you right now, the running back is back in the NFL. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us. You know, we our tribute to Brother Medhurst. I let you off the hook in the beginning of the show because a little birdie told me that you took a whipping last night on the Buckeye because you were riding the Irish. Any truth to that?
Me? No. I hate the Irish, and I'm a Buckeyes fan.
Okay, all right.
Now, my brother went to Ohio State. I used to hang out with him some there, go visit him, and I've actually been on the campus there. I never went there myself, but I had spent a little bit of time there. I got a tattoo in Columbus once, so, you know.
Okay. Yeah, I'm glad it ended the way, at least there was a few, you know, a little bit of action at the end. And the Irish had a great season, and you just want the game to be as competitive as possible. They have they had a hell of a season. And it kind of works out really well because even though it's the national championship, it's not what they wanted because their nemesis, they didn't beat Michigan. And they don't have a perfect season as Michigan did when they won the Natty last year. What I love about this rivalry is that it won't go away. It won't go away. And now the most anticipated battle of the year is next year in Ann Arbor. And it's kind of like the Alabama-Auburn thing that used to be really, really hot, kind of like, eh. I mean, you know, the Red River battle, eh. I mean, Trojans-Bruins, eh. So really, what still, when you think of rivalries, Metal, what is the biggest rivalry in college football?
Yeah, it's got to be Ohio State-Michigan. I don't think there's anyone close. Michigan. Yeah. I mean, you got, like, what, Oklahoma, Texas, kind of. Like, there's a few others, but none of them are close.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I never thought Auburn, Alabama would be, but it is. It is. And to keep these things on the edge – and to be a real rivalry, you really got to have disdain. I mean, you can't, you just got to like, and they have it. It's sick. Really, it's kind of like we shouldn't even be teaching kids in elementary school. We shouldn't even discuss this publicly. It's sick that you can't even enjoy anything with it. But a part of it, you know, because I'm a, you know, recovering sicko, and I'm like, wow. These people are so obsessed with this thing. My national championship is better than yours because we were undefeated. Really? Yeah, this is the kind of things they're saying now.
I'll just say, you know, the coaches are not under any sanctions this year at Ohio State. So, you know, there is that.
Well, both of them have had their hands in the cookie jar. I love that about them. They're going for it. They have to keep up with the SEC. I ain't mad at them at all. Wink, wink. Yeah. We understand that. I love them. Oh no, we're really running.
Were they putting cameras in the games and watching the opponents? Wasn't that part of what Michigan was doing too? The old
well, that's probably just
the
part
old Belichick
of it. That's the part they
spying.
Actually uncovered. When they won the Natty with Harbaugh, hell, he missed damn near 6 games. He was suspended for. Now that's a gangster move. You win the national championship and your coach can't even be on the sidelines for 6 games. That's thug you. I ain't mad at them. They pull that off. So next year, I've already the most anticipated game for next year for me is Ohio State, Michigan. That's a hot ticket. What other ticket? Where else would you rather be than for Ohio State, Michigan?
The only other game I think, even in college sports, that really may even come close is the Duke North Carolina basketball. But even that, I mean, basketball is just not as big as football in this country.
Guess who?
So. No, Duke UNC basketball. Not talking football, but I'm just saying the next college rivalry game.
Yeah,
probably
it's nice.
Probably Duke
UNC. It ain't what it was.
Yeah.
You know what it's got to live up to to meet its past?
Well, think I think they both got to be good teams is what it is, and they usually
good. I mean, that's kind of like Olympians. I mean, this.
Yeah.
But I like what you're thinking about. But what are we into now? We're spoiled. So we want King Kong Godzilla. And then the Lions had a hell of a season. They really did. But in the end, Notre Dame, Nittany Lions, same thing like that. Huff, puff. But in the end, until you win that big one or whatever, there's still another category that you're not on. You're just not on it. Nice try, but you're not on it. Where the big boys are. And I'm going to tell you what, who really strutted stuff. You want to know how bad Nick Saban really is? Look how this thing fell apart in his absence.
Yeah, yeah.
Nick would have ran through this thing like a blowtorch if he was up in. It wouldn't even have been fair. Kirby's smart. Kirby, no excuses. Nick wasn't there. A&M, what a disappointment. There's some programs. I mean, Indiana almost pulled it off. Cincinnati came close. They boys just choked on teams against Ohio State. But I'm telling you what, it was fun, though. I enjoyed it. Enjoyed the heck out of it. Glad they expanded the series. I'm glad that they did what they did because I enjoyed the heck out of it. I think you made the point earlier that the timing of this, maybe we play the game at a different – didn't you say maybe – was that – it had to be you because it was a bright point, so I hope it was you.
It was me. My suggestion was having the game on last night seemed a little anticlimactic after all the NFL games this weekend, and had they moved it to this coming Saturday, we could have the two NFL championship games on Sunday and the college championship game the night before on Saturday, and we could just call it championship weekend, and it would be awesome.
You know, you hang around this stuff long enough, I don't want to sound crazy. You may land on something that they may change this.
That'd be awesome.
And we'll call it the heavy metal rule.
Heck yeah, man. Maybe let me pick the halftime band at one of these games. That'd be awesome.
I think you should. Because really, we got to do better. This could be done better. It lacked something. The game was all right, but I mean, there was just something about it. The window, something was missing. And maybe it was just the mood I was in. I don't know. I think you hit it. When we talked this morning, I think you hit it. Well, we got good news. Our Skeletos on the Ground has just touched in, so we can get some word from someone who's on the ground at Commander's facility. You want to take a break and come back and have a few minutes with Donna?
Let's do it, Doc.
All right, let's do that. We will take a break and right here on the MGM National Listener Line. And then we come back, courtesy of the Rude Guest Hotline, we'll have Donna Hopkins, who is on the ground and can give us a little insider information. Stay with us. .831 in the nation's capital, and Donna Hopkins, who's on the beat at the Commander's facility, is our rude guest on the hotline, the most dependable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. And Donna, got a short clock, and I want to ask you right now, is there any injury that we should be concerned about?
I think the only one that we can be concerned about that's already out is Sam Cosby, and losing him to that ACL was huge in that Detroit game because he's an anchor. So beyond him, everybody seems to be good to go from that Detroit game.
That was good. Yeah, we won without him. Yeah. Now, that's good.
Yeah.
Because Trent replaced him, and we won.
Yes, exactly. And Trent has played before in games this season. So, you know, it's as you always say, Doc, next person up, and Trent came in, and he, you know,
he was body slamming people. Did you see him?
Exactly. And he's got Carter to go up against this week. So he's got a tall task on hand. But it's not just about just Trent Scott. It's about that whole offensive line that stood up at Detroit in that noise, because it was crazy loud, they didn't jump off sides, really. They didn't have a lot of holding penalties. They played pretty much a clean game, and that's what, you know, you wanted them to do coming out of there. And then going up to Philly to face the Eagles, this offensive line has to stand up tall again with a good, you know, defense from the Philadelphia Eagles. So, you know, I was impressed by the offensive line's play in that Detroit game, because anytime you can go up there with that kind of noise, and I'm talking about, Doc, it was crazy noise up there. But, you know, they didn't flinch, and that was pretty impressive. And the way that the defense stood up, their best game probably of the season, the defensive line, we saw the pressure finally to go up against Montgomery and Gibbs, two solid running backs. And, you know, you slow them down as much as you possibly can, and then you get five turnovers. You know, you walk away with that from that game feeling pretty, you know, confident going into this championship game. So they did a lot of great things in that game against a Detroit Lions team that everybody thought the Commanders didn't have a chance to go up there and really not just beat them, but they, you know, no question about it, you know, put their foot on the gas pedal and never let up. And they just kept you know, the Lions offense off the field. That was one key thing going into that game is, you know, for that offense to control the clock, and they did just that. And this week, the same thing with Saquon Barkley is that if they can keep the Philadelphia Eagles offense off the field, then you like their chances, and you like their chances in general going up to Philadelphia on the road, because they have no fear of being on the road.
Well, we have a moonlighting meteorologist, Heavy Metal. And Metal, you have a forecast for Sunday, don't you?
Yeah, now one thing I always like to say about weather projections is if they're more than 5 days out, you generally can't count too much on them, just because more than 5 days out, it's really hard to predict anything. But right now they are saying on Sunday at game time it should be about 32 degrees with a 30% chance of precipitation and about 8 mph winds with up to 12 mph gusts. So not a lot of wind, maybe some rain or snow or some sleet or something gross, and it should be right about freezing, so...
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. You're in the booth, Donna. Don't worry about that.
Hey, I'm not. Booth. Look, I feel for those people. I told somebody, if you were counting on me being on the field in cold weather, playing any sport in cold weather, I'm not that person. Put me in the gym, in the inside, in the warmth, and I'm good to go.
We all agree, Saquon, he's that dude. But what we are kind of scratching our head over, we don't doubt his competitiveness, he's a baller. But we want the Eagles to beat us from the pocket. I'm not certain they can. But can we force that issue and make Mr. Barkley be a pass protector instead of a beast running downhill?
Hey, Doc, he may have to be this week because Jalen Hurts going down last week with that knee injury, and everybody's trying to minimize it. But, you know, anytime you get a knee injury and the way he was limping and he put the brace on, that he's not 100%. So you're going to have maximum protection on him also. And Barkley may become that, blocker a little bit more than he has in past weeks. And this is a thing that the Commanders look at too on that defensive side is that you've got a quarterback that's ailing a little bit. You can't take that for granted because you still have to play ball, but you should be able to rattle him a little bit more, put a lot more pressure on him, you know, like you did in that Detroit game with Goff, a different quarterback in Jalen Hurts, I think a better passer. But, I mean, the pressure is on the Philadelphia Eagles right now, not on the Commanders. It's on the home team. The Commanders think that they can go on the road and beat anybody, and they don't feel pressure. It's a calm. I looked at them last week. It was such a calmness. The week before, a calmness from this team. They were more looking like a veteran team during the week as far as, you know, this, you know, the calm before the storm and just, you know, no moment is too big for them. And I asked Coach Quinn about that this week, is that this team seems to be calm and never, no moment is ever too big. And he said that he settled them down a little bit in that game last week to say, let's breathe a little bit, all in and out. And then they settled back down. So I think to have the Bobby Wagners and the Lou Boos and the Chins and So all of those veteran Allegheny and all those guys that have been there before is helping this young team, because we forget this Commanders team is young, but they're not playing like a young team. And you have just enough veterans on this team to settle the ship.
Well, Donna Hopkins, Tony McGee Pro Football Plus on the scene. This goes without saying, although it has been mentioned a lot. John Allen came back from a major injury, and the rehab effort he put forth, you may never be measured. How hard you had to work to keep your body at a pro football level. From stamina standpoint, you're busting your butt. And if you don't think for one reason that Allen and Payne playing at the top of their game is not a result in WAG, Bobby having some more room to do his thing, then you don't know ball. The better they play, the better he plays. And this defense has a chance to do what it must do if you hope to have any chance against Philadelphia, and that is to stop that run.
You just hit it on the nail, because I think the pressure that they had last week helped out that secondary. Then you have a Lattimore that is more healthier now than he was a few weeks ago. No side effects from that hamstring, because if you look at Detroit, they shut down their their wide receivers for the most part. But it was because of the pressure up front that we finally saw getting to the quarterback. And you called out John Allen, and anybody that had any injury and hoped to come back in the course of a season, the one that he had, normally it doesn't happen. But when you really want to be a part of this team and you want to get back out on the field, you're going to do the extra work in the weight room. You're going to do the extra work of trying to heal and everything to get back, keeping yourself in shape and so forth, so that when you come back, you can hit the road running. And that first week came back in, and the second week after that, you saw a freshness in a John Allen, because he played good ball last week in Detroit. And now, again, they've got to dial it up one more time or two up front, where, you know, you don't leave those corners on the Allen. But Michael Sanders still and Quan Martin, you know, Michael Sanders still, we don't give him credit enough, I think, because we talk about Jaden, the rookie year that he's having, but Michael Sanders still is having an all-out great year himself, because when you look at his play from the beginning to the end, and he just seems to get better as, you know, the season goes along into the postseason, he's played tremendous, and that secondary in general. But I had to call out him because, you know, two picks in one game, and just a nose for the ball, and Quan Martin getting that one and taking it in for the touchdown. Everybody made key plays, putting all the pieces together finally on all three. They played complimentary ball last week. Again, it's going to be a key this week also to start strong, start fast. That's what they did last week. That's what they did in Tampa. They started fast. And they
Joe Witt Jr. Yeah, absolutely. Donna? We appreciate your expertise. Tell the old man with the white beard to hang in there. It gets better. It really does.
I definitely will.
We appreciate you. Heavy Metal, you are, as Coach would say, simply one of the best. The beat goes on. We keep playing the hits. Keep it right here. 106.7 The Fan.